This is Michael Johnson, and we are going to be doing a series of informative podcasts, bringing together some analysts from industry, some technology experts, service providers, talking about carriers and the transformation that major carriers are going through right now. They have to transform their networks to deal with some of the new technologies that are being offered today, multi-service packet-based technologies. We're going to be covering IMS, soft switching, VoIP, triple play, IPTV, design, management, all kinds of things. And with me today, on the line from different parts of the world, actually, we're going to be speaking with John Lazar, who is the CEO of Metaswitch. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
And also on the line is Joe McGarvey, who is a senior analyst at Current Analysis in New York. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, Michael.
We're going to start with you, John. Tell me a little bit about your background and a little bit about the Metaswitch company.
My personal background, Michael, is as an engineer. I joined Metaswitch's parent company, Data Connection, 18 years ago, so I've been with the same company a long time, but have done a variety of different things within the company, ranging from engineering through product management, architecture, and obviously business generation and more general management responsibilities. Metaswitch is a separately branded division within Data Connection. We started Metaswitch about 6 years ago, and our strong focus has been on providing next-generation voice technology to the service providers in North America and in the UK. And Metaswitch's real value add has been in a very strong understanding of the next generation voice over IP IMS landscape, but with a good understanding of how we can make it easier for service providers to migrate from their existing legacy networks.
And now, Joe, maybe you can tell me a little bit about what kinds of issues that you cover at Current Analysis.
Oh, sure. The module, the coverage area that I work in is described as carrier IP telephony. So as that might suggest, I'm looking at equipment that the carriers are deploying to offer new services, offer services. Many of the ones that you described earlier, so which includes soft switches and related equipment, and also right now, as you might expect, I've been focusing quite a bit on IMS and all of that, implementing that technology entails. Actually, I should say all that architecture entails, since it's not really a technology, so we'll probably get into a little bit later.
All right. So I'm going to get back to you, John. Tell me a little bit about how telecommunication is changing and how I know that telecommunication is really key to, I think, you know, shaping the entire world, how people communicate. Can you talk a little bit about how things are changing and how some of this technology right now, especially as the telcos are looking at it, is going to change networks and change the social interactions with people?
Okay. I think the two trends that I would emphasize are, firstly, that we have seen a revolution in the network that binds people together. You know, whereas 25 years ago, the network was a reasonably rigid, tedium voice network, the explosion of the Internet has meant that IP is becoming ubiquitous, and that is an extremely transforming influence on business models and technology. I think the second thing, which is probably even more important, is that we are seeing just a complete revolution in the kinds of services that people are expecting, and very importantly, in where service providers are able to get their revenue from. And this is something which I think maybe we can come back and talk about more later. But I think that if you look at the emergence of mobile applications and you look at the emergence of some of the web-based and internet-based applications, there has been a really radical shift in people's usage over the last 20 years, and an equally radical shift in what they're prepared to pay for.
Now, I'm going to turn to you for a second, Joe, and tell me a little bit about how the telcos are responding in the light that people are actually using these services very, very differently. They're starting to, you know, put different kinds of things together. I think people are now starting to understand the linkage between video cast, you know, television and their computers. Can you talk a little bit about how the big companies are responding?
Oh, sure. And big companies, I'm assuming you mean the carriers, right?
Mm-hmm. The carriers and telcos.
Carriers out there. Yeah, and I agree completely with what John had to say. And the way we see it, and I hope it relates to what you're asking me, is the, you know, in a word, or maybe it's two words, you know, user-centric is what the service providers are responding to now. And I think that's a good way to describe the transformation of their networks, or shouldn't say the transformation, the you know, their attempts to transform the network, and that's what's driving this. I've probably said it too many times, but I sort of use the analogy, it's of Copernican theory, you know, Copernicus, this idea of he was one, you know, the really the first person credited with, you know, looking at the way the universe is oriented, and you know, recognizing it was not the, you know, not the everything revolves around the Earth, but everything revolves around the Sun, including the Earth. And a similar thing is happening, I think, with the service providers. It used to be that the network was the center of the universe, and as subscribers, you know, everyone had to sort of you know, adapt their usage, you know, the number of devices, the access to the network. And in this new paradigm, the idea is that the subscriber's at the center of the universe. And the network now is the onus is on the network to sort of automatically apply itself to the needs of the subscriber.
I think there's another angle on that. I agree with what Joe's saying there very much. The other way of thinking about that is to say, historically, there's been a very static link between the network and a subscriber. Subscribers were identified, if you like, by a line down to them. And service providers charge money for the line or usage thereof. What's happened now is there's been a disconnection between the network and the subscribers. Subscribers are essentially mobile, and that means that you can't charge per line anymore. You have to find another way to create a business.
Now, it seems like obviously service providers and the carriers have to respond to this. Otherwise, you know, they're going to be left in the dust. Maybe you can talk a little bit about why, or at least how, these companies are migrating over to some of these new technologies. Because, as you say, the network was static before, but now it's become completely fluid. And like I say, the center, it's hard to know where Copernicus would be in this particular universe.
Well, I think this is obviously where IMS enters the picture,
Let's define that real quickly before we go on.
Okay, the acronym stands for IP, Multimedia Subsystem, and it's an architecture that arose originally within the wireless space, the mobile space, in the 3GPP standards body, which is looking at third generation mobile services. What's happened more recently is it's spread from 3GPP through wireline carriers into other parts of the network, if you like. And more service providers are looking at IMS as a blueprint for how they can migrate their networks. From my perspective, I've always thought IMS is very interesting, but I mean, we see it as a quite interesting evolution from some of the earlier soft switch architectures that people have been discussing for many years now. But I think what IMS leads us to are two key things. The first is transformation of the network, where you can genuinely converge your TDM network and your IP network into a single network to provide services for a different range of subscribers with different devices as their access point. But I think the more interesting thing, and this comes back to the question that you've asked, Michael, is that the really big promise of IMS is that it really provides a very, very strong, clear separation between the call control at the core of the network and a service delivery platform where the service provider can very quickly and flexibly generate new services for subscribers, whether they're coming in on a cell phone or coming in on their PC or coming in on their old-style black telephone. And that's the key to what we're looking for here, because flexible service delivery with an integration between mobile, IP, and other parts of the network is incredibly key.
Now, is IMS applicable only to 3G wireless carriers, or is it a broader industry requirement now?
Joe, do you want to take that?
Yeah,
we leaped on the technical side there for a second.
Yeah, well, it No, it's kind of interesting. IMS, sort of the irony of IMS is that it did emerge in the mobile world. It was promoted and I guess created, if that's the right word or not, for a standard, but by the 3GPP, which is and 3GPP2, which is mobile standards body, mobile oriented standards body. But it wasn't long before equipment vendors and service providers said, "Hey, this makes a lot of sense, for us as well." And in fact, this makes a lot of sense as John was describing, as a mechanism for even converging our networks and creating a lot of efficiency through dismantling some of these what are commonly referred to as siloed or vertically oriented delivery platforms. And as John was talking about, into creating a single delivery platform that has reusable parts basically, and can be used over and over again. So every time you build an application, you don't have to build essentially a complete new network.
So that's on the industry side there. Let's take it around to, I guess, I don't know if we can call them the end users anymore, since we're not, sort of delivering stuff there at the end of a pipeline anymore. But what, and I'll shoot this to you, John. What are some of the trends that you see in people adopting this kinds of service by business and also by consumers? Maybe you can address that a little bit.
Okay. Well, I mean, stepping right back here, the thing that I find very interesting is, I have two teenagers, a son and a daughter, and I think there is a very, very interesting social shift in the way that they use the network and the way they engage with services. For a start, they expect to get all their music online rather than buying CDs or DVDs. They're willing to pay for ringtones, but they're not willing to pay for music. They have no concept of seeing a landline as important, whereas my wife and I might still view the landline as being, maybe our primary telephone usage, and a cell phone as being something which is convenient. My kids would view a cell phone and Skype as being absolutely central to what they do, but that voice should also be free, and so on and so forth. And I mean, fundamentally, we have a situation where we have a group of young people where in 10 years' time, they will be the people who will be the primary purchasers of new services. And at this point, we're entering an arena where we can't predict what services they're going to want, and we certainly cannot predict what they're going to pay for. So I think what's interesting about IMS is many people have discussed it in terms of network and architecture, and there's all kinds of discussion about how the network will migrate, and that's interesting. But for me, the much more interesting piece is if it does come off and it does work properly, then it will create an environment where new services can be delivered very quickly and very flexibly, and that is going to be incredibly important to deal with this very different social trend that's taking place under our feet.
No, it just seems like the virtualization of the entire structure. I mean, I know that there's the concept of virtualization has been something in computing for a short while, but it seems like it's taking on more of a perceptual sort of mode right now with business and with services altogether. I mean, everything is becoming virtual, it seems.
Yes, I think that's right. And I think there's also a level of integration which we're now beginning to see. So to come back to your question about, how people are beginning to deploy these services, what's interesting to me is it's all about integration of devices and, different networks with the same application and servers. So the kind of things we're seeing happening from within Metaswitch with our customers are things like integrating voice services with TV services. So even simply down to the point where, you might be sitting on your couch at home watching TV and a call comes in and you get a screen pop on your TV telling you the caller ID of the person calling in, and you can either take the call or push it through to voicemail using your remote control. Or Find Me, Follow Me services where your home phone and your cell phone will ring simultaneously, or hunt through to your soft phone running on your PC. Applications like a desktop assistant running on your PC, where if your black phone, home phone rings, you can see who it's from, and you can use your mouse to send that person through to voicemail. So those kind of very simple integrations are beginning to happen, and they are made much, much easier by the underlying IMS SIP infrastructure on top of which the services are built.
Just to follow up on what John is saying is, you know, different carriers, different vendors have different names for it, but it comes down to, some call it blended services, some call them, combinational services. But I think a big aspect from the user side of it is just as John was describing, is, the combination of, the whole idea of mixing multimedia or mixing media, the combination of the television and the telephone. And the idea of having maybe one or two devices or instead of carrying around a different device for every application and calling, and having six voicemail boxes for every, one for every device, having all that unified and centralized, I think that's the big, that's one of the big pushes from the the end user, the subscriber side of things.
What about the business side of things? Maybe you can talk about that a little bit. I asked John about sort of how that affects the consumer side. Can you talk a little bit about how these trends are going to be changing the way business operates?
Sure, the enterprises, yeah. It's interesting that depending on what you're marketing you're in, of course, there's two sides of it. I think, it used to be every couple of years it sort of changes. It seems like the subscribers are driving it. Maybe it's just perspective, too. It seems like subscribers are the driver for some of these things, and then the enterprise subscribers, rather than the consumer subscribers, are the ones driving it. And I primarily look, from my standpoint, primarily look at the enterprise, and there's a lot of stuff going on that side of things too. And probably the most interesting is that enterprises are starting to think of their communications, which typically in the past has always been just part, like your telephone is like your stapler or any other desk device. And now the idea with some of these services that we're talking about, this idea of combinational services and having a single interface on your desktop to launch IM, to launch a video conferencing call, to no longer have to track someone down by leaving four voicemails, where they are through presence, that sort of thing. People are starting to talk on the enterprise side is communications actually being a productivity app. And, some folks are even trying to measure, if we adopt these services, what kind of productivity can we get out of the average worker who no longer has to spend all their time tracking people down and listening to voicemail and that sort of thing.
And I'd add two things to that. I think the first is, obviously, when you begin to talk about the enterprise, it's incredibly important to track what Microsoft are doing. And they obviously have had a substantial recent announcement in the space. And a lot of what they're looking at are exactly the things that Joe's talked about there, where you want to, when you're sitting at your desktop, you can see where somebody is because of presence. You can click to dial, and your phone rings or your cell phone rings when you've tracked them down. But you can integrate all of those services. The second point I'd make is that I think that the boundary between the enterprise and the consumer is also changing and breaking down, because so many people now either work from home or on the move. So the kind of services we're seeing people adopt in their, if you like, their home office need to be integrated with the enterprise, because they really are part of the same nexus of services that people are looking for.
That's a great point. And that's another capability of IMS and SIP, is the ability to handle your services and to create some sort of virtual separation between your entertainment, your work, or your at home, your residential services. And through IMS, you can use the same device, the same service, and that's the ultimate goal for this service provider, right? Is to have a subscriber get everything from them, right? But through IMS and SIP, you can partition all of those different identities and different lifestyles and combine them, but at the same time keep them separate.
On this podcast, we've been speaking with John Lazar, who's the CEO of the Metaswitch company, on the line with us from London, and also Joe McGarvey, who's the principal analyst at Current Analysis, on the line with us from New York. If you'd like to find out more information about some of the topics we've been talking about, you can go to www.metaswitch.com/podcasts. And Metaswitch is MetaSwitch, www.metaswitch.com/podcast. I'm Michael Johnson. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.